Well, hello and welcome back. This is Mace Hara for the Medical Sales Guru podcast. You're probably wondering, what is he welcoming me back to? Well, I'm welcoming you back to another episode where I want to talk to you about something that will help you to continue to do the right thing when you're out there in your territory. So what are your goals in your territory? Clearly, your goals are to sell more so you could earn more. And you know that you have to do things such as know your product. You have to have great selling skills. You have to approach the customer in a professional way. But let me ask you this. Are you behaving? Do you remember your parents probably used to ask you that question when you were a child? Heck, they're probably asking you that question now. I'm asking you that question now. Are you behaving? So what does it mean to behave? And of course, when I ask you that question, I'm asking it in the context of you being a medical sales professional. Well, really what I'm talking about is sales rep etiquette. Now, before you hit the stop button or you go to put on some rap music or something that's going to really get you all energized so you can enjoy your day, this is important stuff. And I wouldn't be bringing it up if in all my years of experience in this industry, which my friends are many, if I didn't see medical sales reps that are behaving badly. Sales rep etiquette is something, unfortunately, that a lot of people don't think about unless they're starting out. Now, if you're starting out, when you're going into a doctor's office, it's a very, very foreign environment, especially when you're admitted to the back office. You're used to being a patient. You've probably sat in the exam room and you take off your shirt and someone comes in and checks your blood pressure and your pulse and then says, well, the doctor will be right in. Thank you. Have a nice day. It's very different when you're a sales rep because, for one thing, they're not always treating you as well. And you're also exposed to a lot of behind-the-scene type things that you're unfamiliar with. So you ask the question, well, how am I supposed to behave back here? And certainly, if you sell in the hospital environment, that's an entity unto itself. There's all kinds of areas and places and opportunities for you to screw up. And many reps do, which is why I'm doing this podcast. So I just want to hit on some of the high points. I think that whether you're new in the territory or you've been doing this for as many years as I have, it's worth listening and paying attention because these things do make a huge difference, whether you realize it or not. Because there is nothing that you do in your territory or when you're with customers that goes unnoticed. Everything you do matters. Behavior matters, especially in this professional environment. There are few environments where professionalism is more valued than in healthcare. So let's talk about that. First of all, look the part, folks. When you're going in as a medical sales professional, you need to look like a professional. That means professional dress. And professional dress is not scrubs or golf clothes. Now, I see sales reps all the time making sales calls in scrubs, and I get it. Listen, I've committed many of these sins myself. If you spend all your time in a clinical environment as a sales professional, working in a hospital clinic where you have to wear scrub clothes, it's very tempting to just wear them all day long, including when you make sales calls. Now, here's the thing. You're probably saying, Mace, is the healthcare providers or professionals that I'm calling on, are they really going to object to me wearing scrub clothes? And it depends. Everybody is different. But I recall when I had someone working for me, I had a sales rep working for me, and I asked him to go and call on one of the surgeons in my territory. I'll call him Dr. Ed. And I followed up with Dr. Ed several days later, and I said, Dr. Ed, let me ask you, I sent Jim over here. How did he do? How did he do? Was he professional? And he said, you know, he seems like a nice enough kid, Mace. He's a nice young man. But I wonder what he thinks of me. And I said, Dr. Ed, what are you talking about? He said, well, he didn't think enough of me to put on a suit and tie. He showed up here in scrubs. Now, Dr. Ed was old school. I'll admit that. He would never be seen outside of the operating room without a suit and tie. So he expected everyone who engaged with him to look the same way. So the answer to that question, does it really matter? It depends on who you're talking to. This I could promise you. You can never look too professional. You will never be criticized for wearing a suit and tie, for looking professional. Someone might joke about it with you, and I will share with you that there were times when I called on certain guys. It was the end of the day, and I had one surgeon say to me, "Hey, Mace, you know, if you don't take that tie off, I'm not going to talk to you because you're making me uncomfortable." And it's because it was the end of the day, and he wanted to have a beer and kick back and relax. Another time when I was down in the Florida Keys, and in the Keys, if you were wearing a suit and a tie, you were a federal agent. You know, you worked for the DEA or the IRS or someone that they didn't want to talk to. So there are exceptions, but most of the time, it pays off to wear professional clothing. You want to be neatly groomed. You'd think I didn't have to say that, but not everybody is. If you wear cologne, men, or perfume, ladies, don't overdo it. It's not good when your cologne arrives before you do. And here's the thing. Some of your customers have allergies to scents. They won't say anything because they don't want to be known as the person who doesn't tolerate scents real well. They're sensitive to it. In other words, they start sneezing, they get headaches, they feel sick. So put on enough so that, you know, if someone is in your intimate space, you know, in other words, they're sniffing your earlobes or something like that, which hopefully in the professional environment, not too many people are doing that. But that's how close someone should have to get to smell your cologne. If you're putting it on with a paint roller or a paintbrush, it's too much. Go lightly, folks, okay? Smoking. If you smoke, do it before you shower in the morning or after you get home. Here's the thing. Most people who work in healthcare don't smoke. If they did smoke, they stopped. Yeah, there's a few who still do it, but most people don't. And here's the reality. They don't want to smell it on anybody. They sure as heck don't want to smell it on a sales rep who's invading their office. And it doesn't matter how many breath mints you suck on. People will still smell it on your skin, on your clothing, and in your hair. It turns people off. Guess what happens when you turn people off when it comes to buying? Okay, you get the message. And one last thing, beware of gaudy jewelry. Tasteful jewelry, no problem. But if you're a sales rep and you're wearing a giant gold Rolex on your wrist, it's sending a message. Usually the message that it's sending is that I make a lot of money. That's why I can afford to wear this $25,000 watch. All I'm saying is that everything you do matters. Be conservative. Surgeons have even shared with me how they feel about reps who drive very expensive cars. It usually says that they're making too much money. Now, most doctors won't deny reps who work hard, who deliver the goods, buying nice things, having nice things. But here's the thing. Some people are going to resent you for it. I could tell you that there's a lot of people in the hospital environment who are making $35,000, $40,000 a year who work in materials management or maybe in some other departments. They're going to resent you for it. And these people can impact buying decisions. So am I telling you to do it or not to do it? I'm not going to say. I'm just saying consider it. Be conservative. Don't be showy. Better to be conservative and to be liked, or at least not to be resented. Okay, let's move on with etiquette. What about titles? When reps start out, or if they don't know, let's say, a physician very well, they automatically will use the term doctor, the title doctor. They'll say Dr. Smith, Dr. Edwards, whatever it is. As they become more familiar and they get on a first name basis with the doctor, then they resort to the first name. Here's my advice on that. The doctor is not going to mind. People in the professional environment, like you're in a hospital, when they see you as a sales rep calling a doctor by the first name, one thing that it suggests is you're a little bit too chummy. Maybe there's too close of a relationship between the two of them. Maybe we should take a look at what this doctor is buying, what products he's using. In the professional environment, use titles. It's what professionals do. Even if you're invited to call a doctor, for example, by his or her first name, do it when you're in private. In the clinical environment, say doctor and go by the last name, whatever it is. By the way, you should do the same thing with administrators. A lot of times an administrator, like if it's Mr. Warbly, you will call him Mr. Warbly instead of, "Hey, Chuck, how you doing?" Show some respect. It's not that you're just showing respect to the person. You're showing respect to all the people who can hear you or see you when you're doing this. Titles mean a lot to people in healthcare. They worked hard to earn them. And when they hear someone else not respecting the title, they will make judgments on that. It's what a professional does. Now, here's another thing when you're in the healthcare environment. Here's how I want you to think about yourself. You are a visitor. You don't live there. It's not your place of work. It might be where you perform your services or you sell your product, but you're a visitor. You're a guest in somebody else's house. Act like it. I don't care how comfortable you are with the customers. Remember, other people are watching. And especially, respect their space. They being the people who do work there. In other words, don't automatically help yourself to food if you're in the lounge or telephones. It's very easy to just pick up a phone and call your office or to call out or to use a printer. Anything you want to use, chances are people will allow you to do it, but ask first. It's the right thing to do. Also, when you're in the healthcare environment, remember why healthcare providers are at work. It's not to see salespeople. It's to care for patients. Don't get in the way. Now, by all means, try to get some time with decision makers on your sales calls. That's your job. But be aware if a physician or a therapist is treating a patient, that's what's most important in that moment. Don't interrupt. Show that you'll be patient unless the healthcare provider invites you to do otherwise. And they'll say, tell me about what we discussed last week while I'm working here with Mrs. Jones. But only if you're invited. Otherwise, respect why they're there. They're there to treat patients, to improve patients' lives. This is where you got to get good at assessing whether or not your timing is good. Time to talk to them for their sake, because they may resent you for it. Or in fact, they may even get a little ticked off at you for doing it. But it's not the best thing for your sake. Your goal is to go in there and to have a conversation that will allow you to sell a product ultimately. That's why you're there. That's why you do what you do. Or to help a patient down the road. It could be a specific patient that you're there to help a physician with. But if the timing's not good, find another time to come back. Find a better time. Healthcare professionals always have lots of things on their minds. They could be involved in something, or you could be in the middle of a sales call and a situation shows up, someone delivers a message, and you need to realize that right now, with the information this customer just received, it's not in your best interest to continue. Be considerate of what's going on in their lives. The other thing is, when you're in the healthcare environment, be invisible when you need to be. You got to know when to step aside when a professional needs to speak with another professional, such as a doctor needs to converse with a colleague, and the conversation doesn't involve you. Step aside, excuse yourself. It's amazing how many times I've seen sales reps jump into a conversation in a lounge, for example, when it wasn't appropriate. You have to know your place. Yes, you're a professional, and you could earn a professional-grade income. But when doctors, for example, are conversing about something and it's not appropriate for you to jump in, don't. Respecting patient privacy is huge. I shouldn't even have to talk about this, because hopefully the company or companies that you represent have drummed this into your head. There's something called HIPAA. You don't ever discuss patient information or disseminate patient information in an email or unsecure means. You just don't do it. But I can't tell you, to this day, I'll be in a hospital elevator and I will hear sales reps talking about Mrs. Smith, the patient who just had gallbladder surgery, or some other personal information. Just don't do it. It's got to be respected. When you're visiting a hospital or a doctor's office, there are rules. They're not always stated. A lot of the rules are unwritten, But there are also stated rules. Whether they're stated or unstated, you need to play by the rules. Now listen, I believe in the mantra, it's easier to receive forgiveness than it is to receive permission. But you got to be careful here. Listen, it's your job to make the sale. And if you never bend the rules a little bit, or if you don't ever want to risk angering someone in your territory, you're probably not trying hard enough. It's just the way the world works, especially the way this world works. But you got to be careful. You see, if you piss off the wrong person, I promise you, it's going to cost you. And it could cost you big, big time. I'll give you a quick example. There was a situation where in one of the operating rooms that was one of my best accounts, and I had a great relationship with everybody in there. And the OR director, for a long time, I had been trying to get her to buy new power equipment because the power equipment was very, very old. It kept breaking down. She didn't want to spend the budget on that. There were some other things she wanted to spend the money on. Well, a new orthopedic surgeon came to town, and the hospital really wanted to provide him with everything he needed. They wanted him to bring all his patients there. So they said to the doctor, they said, give me a list of everything you need. We'll make sure you get it. Well, one of the things he was complaining about was the power equipment. So he asked me for a quote for power equipment. Well, I didn't run it through the OR director. I just handed him the quote. He handed it to the administrator. The administrator handed it to the purchasing director who ordered the power equipment. And now I'm high-fiving, right? I'm thinking, hey, this is great, you know, because I just got an order for like $15,000, $20,000. I mean, this is really, really cool. Well, it wasn't so cool when the OR director found out about it because she was ticked. I mean, she just looked at me with this angry face. She said, you went over my head. I said, what are you talking about? And she told me what happened. And I said, listen, it wasn't intentional. I didn't mean to do it. She said, paybacks, Mace, paybacks. Well, it didn't happen right away. But a couple of months later, one of the sets that were on the shelf in the operating room, it was one of my trauma sets that the hospital used pretty much all the time. I didn't have to go in for it. It was just passive income. She converted it out. A competitor came in and offered to put his equipment in piece for piece at no charge, a brand new set, and mine went out, which means I lost the business. And she, when I asked her about it, she said, oh yeah, I did that. That's what happens when you try to go over my head. She was making a strong point. Now, to be honest with you, the hospital closed down. It was bought out by another hospital. It closed down within a year. So the sales rep who converted out my business never got a payoff. He never got a return on doing that. And I really didn't lose that much money. But here's the point. I pissed somebody off and she decided to punish me. When you do something like that, when you don't follow the rules, it might not happen that day, that month, or even that year, but at some point down the road, you will pay a price for it. Play by the rules. It's just easier. You'll sleep better, and people will like you. The last thing I want to talk about is in the event you ever get to engage a patient in your official job duties, because let's say you apply a device to a patient, it's part of your job, or maybe one of the healthcare providers will ask you to talk to a patient on the phone or maybe in person. Here's what I want you to remember. When you are with a patient, you don't only represent your company, you also represent the health professional who ordered your services or who referred you to that patient. Make that customer look good. It is not your job for you to look good, for your company to look good. It is your job to make the customer look good. That becomes your job. So did I cover everything that's important about sales rep etiquette? Of course not. There's so much more, but these are some of the high points that just stand out to me because I've seen such egregious violations over the years and continue to see them today. So think about everything you do, how it's going to be perceived by the people in your accounts. And if there's ever any question, here's my advice. Don't do it. Better to be safe than sorry. Speaking about safe than sorry, how sure are you about your selling skills. Now, if you've been doing this for 20 years, chances are you know what to do. But let me ask you, when you're out selling in your territory, are you actually using the skills you know you should be using? And if you're new, if you've been in the territory for 3 or 4 years or less, I promise you, you still have a lot to learn. Now, you have two choices. You can go it alone. You could go through the learning curve on your own, which is probably going to cost you sales. It's going to cost you money, heartache, headaches, and all kinds of grief. Or you could learn from others who've been there before you. I've been learning from others for years, for over 30 years, in fact. And I've assembled all of the information about selling skills, about strategies for effective selling in healthcare in an online program that's called Medical Sales Academy. Medical Sales Academy could be the best investment you ever make in your medical sales career. Check it out at medicalsalesacademy.com. Read about the differences it could make, what you will learn. And if you have any questions, you can email me, mace@medicalsalestraining.com, and I'll be happy to answer your questions about Medical Sales Academy, because if it's right for you, I'll do what I can to help you get involved. It's that important. So thanks for being here again this week on the Medical Sales Guru podcast. You've shown that you're a professional, that you care about learning all that you can. Please share information about my podcast with your medical sales colleagues at your company and those you run into in the field. And don't forget that no matter what you do in your medical sales career, the patient always comes first. I will speak to you on the next episode of the Medical Sales Guru podcast, so watch for it. Until then, go out there and make a difference. Thanks for stopping by. This is Mace Haroff. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.